Hey everybody, it's Scott Travis with Judas Priest. You're listening to Rock On Radio.
Do we have YouTube?
We do. We have YouTube. Hello, everybody. It is Sunday night. It is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am Danny Coleman. I am the host of this program, which is still Rock On Radio. Has not been commandeered by groups of angry pygmies.
Thankfully.
That happens sometimes here in beautiful Hightstown, New Jersey. But now these guests that have come down this evening have traveled a long way to come see us. Okay. This is a trend. We're taking like New England. I'm telling you, we had Syracuse, we had Albany, Syracuse, we had Warwick.
And now
we have, where are you from?
Fairfield, Connecticut.
Nice. I knew it was Connecticut. And they traveled all the way here to see. How long did it take you to get here?
3 hours.
Is it 2.5 hours, maybe?
2.5, 3 hours.
Yikes. Do we have an affiliate in New England?
Yeah, right.
We should.
No pressure here to make it worth their trip. Laura and Mike, the creators of Beat Seat.
Mark.
You're Mike tonight, just for all intents and purposes. You are Mike.
I need to turn Mike.
I keep saying that. Laura and Mike. What you need there?
There we go. That's a little better.
Okay, so you can hear yourself.
I just need to be able to hear myself a little bit.
There you go. You guys did travel a long way to come see us. Well, thank you, first of all.
Thank you.
For that.
Thanks for having us.
I greatly appreciate that. We greatly appreciate that. And that's because, you made a special trip and you have a special product.
We do. The Beat Seat.
The Beat Seat, the drum you play with your hands and feet.
And you're the inventor?
Yes.
Are you a drummer?
No, I'm actually a singer-songwriter. So when I was traveling, I just didn't have percussion. That's the one thing I was missing. So I do a lot of like beatboxing. I'd smack the guitar. You know, all the things you see a lot of musicians doing, but it's taking away from the act of performing.
Right.
Like I find I'll see the best guitar players that use that function of slapping the guitar.
Yes.
It sounds really good, but you're not using your hands when you slap the guitar. You're not strumming the strings. So I think what we've created is the opportunity for you to create percussion with your feet while you do every single thing you've ever been able to do with your hands.
Gosh, excuse me. All of a sudden, I can't get this tickle out of my throat.
No worry. I'll keep talking.
There we go. Okay. That's why I thought maybe water would do it, but...
Isn't that the worst, right, when you're alive, too? You're just like, it's fine right until you push go, and then all of a sudden...
Right? Did you hear me cough once?
Not at all.
Well, my apologies for those of you watching on radio. Okay, so... And you can incorporate this while you're playing guitar.
Yeah, so the idea is that you could sit with your guitar, which I have here, but sit comfortably while you play your guitar.
Very cool. See that? That's fantastic.
That is cool.
All right, now, so what gave you the idea to create this? I mean, other than what you just said, was there something you looked at a cajon and thought, I can modify that?
Yeah, that's basically what it was, is I saw that what they had out there, this cajon that everyone's been playing for 50 or 60 years, it's inferior because of certain reasons. It was designed to be the way it is, and everyone just got used to it. This is what Laura and I usually talk about. People have gotten used to the fact that that's the way it was designed, and they just function with it. With this, what we created was the ability to sit upright, and we're just using all four panels. A cajon has one panel. But I'm playing this show, and the drummer couldn't make the show, and I'm left with two choices. Do I hire a new drummer, which I couldn't find a drummer, or do I buy a cajon? I'll build one first. The first thought was, let me build a cajon. So I did that, but the moment I built it, I sat on it, I realized it's not designed for guitar players, because the cajon sits underneath you, literally. It's like way under you. You have to spread your legs really wide and then bend over to access it. And what that does is you got to have back problems, I'd imagine, but people are just dealing with it. And when I built the cajon, I realized immediately this is not going to work. And I saw this, like, just in a split second, just saw, well, what about something shaped like a horse? Wider at the back, more narrow at the front. So when you sit on it, your legs aren't sitting uncomfortably, but you sit like you would in the perfect seat to play guitar. And that got me thinking, geez, I've never sat in a good guitar seat. I don't think I've ever sat in a good guitar seat. I traveled all over the country for 10 years, and every seat I'm in a bar stool or in some weird dinner chair, but it's never a comfortable seat. And so that was part two of my design, was I have to create something that you could sit comfortably for hours on end. And so that was part of it. And then the byproduct was drummers like you have a drum they could play sitting upright with their hands and feet at the same time. Now, I've had a lot of people who play the cajon say, oh, you could play with your feet on a cajon. I'm like, yeah, you could bring one foot around and do some weird action. You can't sit like I am and kick with both feet like this without bending over and doing some weird stuff. So we've created a more ergonomic playing position for you, and also just more tone. Something we've coined omnitone, which is unlimited tone. You know, something Lara pointed out the other day, there's a new drum coming out by LP. It's called the six tone. And they'll charge you $850 for that. And by the way, you have to buy a seat. You have to buy a seat to sit on, to sit the six tone in front of you.
That's our competitor.
That's our competitor.
Yeah.
So really?
That's our competitor. And so in a way, and this is my theory, I don't know if this is true, but when you have all these companies that are pushing a product that's inferior and someone has a better product, they're going to do everything they can to make sure that this product doesn't see the light of day.
Correct.
Because they have all this product that just won't sell the world knows the Beat Seat exists.
That was actually my next question. How do you compete against LP? I mean, they've been in the percussion business for decades.
They have. I mean, if I was LP, I'd be calling me right now, because you can't do it without me. I have the patent, you know,
That's right.
It is the future of music, of live music. So if you're not calling me now and you're waiting until we become something, you're just paying a lot more.
It's all about making a better widget, though, right?
I mean,
that's what people do. You find something, and when you use it on a regular basis, if you can make it better, you're going to make it better.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And all we wanted was an opportunity. For me, all I wanted was the opportunity to play alone and not have to hire a drummer. And that was my first step.
Hey, easy
kind of
now,
selfish.
Easy now.
I know.
Easy.
But it was a selfish thought.
I liked you for a bit there, Mike.
Mark.
I'm still Mike. No, I'm going to be Mike the rest of the day.
Mike. Yeah.
No, but I absolutely agree with you. Like, there's something amazing about having a drummer back you up. But the beautiful thing about the Beat Seat, and you could relate to this, when you play with other musicians, it's an energy builder. They're creating the opportunity for you to make something. Right. Because they're seeing something you're not. You're creating a drum beat that I didn't even think of. And all of a sudden, that's pushing my emotions somewhere, right? And with the Beat Seat, what I find is kind of amazing is you're doing that all by yourself. You don't need the other musician. You are the other musician. Your feet are the other musician. And I'll find I improvise a lot in my show. And most of my songs, because of this, I feel like I'm seeing further into the future than I would when I'm just playing my guitar. That's the way I see improvisation, is you're seeing into the future. And then you're creating what you've heard. And with this, I'm seeing like 10 seconds in. I'm hearing stuff 10 seconds out that I want to find. And it's just, I could tell that it's because of this that I'm inspired to just create and to just find new things. It's the Beat Seat.
The Beat Seat. Now, Lara.
Yes.
How did you come into play in this now? I mean, what is your role in the Beat Seat?
So I'm the Director of Business and Operations. And what really got me interested was the music therapy piece of it.
Okay.
So we've discovered that it has sensory therapy applications.
Ah.
And that really sparked my interest.
This is Rock On Radio. I am your host, Danny Coleman, and we are going to be back right now with the inventors of Beat Seat. There you go. I just like to throw dead air in there for a second or two. Just let everybody think, what's he doing?
Exactly.
He could be bad for me. Exactly.
Drama.
That's right. I got the case of the Zachleys. You know the Zachleys?
No.
I know certain people whose face looks just like a horse's. Oh, but I'm not going to go there. Exactly. Our guests are Lara and Mark from, yes, I'll call you Mark.
Okay.
Fine, you won. You drove all this way. I might as well be nice to you. creators of the Beat Seat. So you were saying, Lara, before Joe called, that you are involved in this because you are the
Business and Operations Director.
Business and Operations Director.
Yes.
Oh, my. It's that time of day already.
Yeah.
Oh.
7:30.
It is 7:30. For those of you waiting at home, I know you can't wait to hear New York City traffic and weather, because it's Dave the Rave with his rock and roll review. What's happening, Dave?
Wow, that's one hell of a intro there. Thank you, Danny. Good evening, everybody out there in rock and roll land. How's everybody doing?
Dave, we are fantastic. Say hello to Laura and Mark from Beat Seat.
Hi.
Hey, Dave.
Good evening. Hello.
How
rock
are you?
On. What's going on, guys?
Dave, they drove all the way down from Connecticut, man.
Past
Say that again?
They drove all the way down from Connecticut. Fairfield, Connecticut. So you better, I hope you got a good traffic report for them going home.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's your New York Metro traffic report for this evening. You got some cars over here that are driving that way. You got some cars over there that are driving the other way. Some of them are slowed down. Some of them are moving really fast.
That is fantastic.
Wow.
That's how it's going this evening.
Wow.
Touche. That's
nice.
Really good.
And the weather?
Would you like the New York Metro weather reports for this evening?
Yes, sir.
Here's the deal. It's done raining, and it's not going to go below freezing, and tomorrow's going to be a nice day.
Woo-hoo. All right.
See, I like that report.
See, in depth.
Like 3 seconds.
To the point.
See, that's how it should be on every radio station.
Check your app. Yeah, that's all you need to do. Check your app. Where are you? Why do you need anybody else?
Dave the Rave.
You know,
there you go.
You know what's funny is you listen to news talk radio, and they're like, 15 minutes on the Lincoln and Holland, and 45 minutes coming over to GW. That means nothing to anybody.
It's
because
true.
When you're sitting in a car, 5 minutes feels like 45 minutes when you're not moving on the bridge.
That's true.
So, you know, what are you trying to tell me? I should just pull over and open up a vein? You know?
How many times have you been stuck in traffic? There's a large backup. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, no, here's the favorite. This is my favorite. So I'm on my way into the city. You normally to go to see a show, and I'm thinking to myself, there's just no way that I'm going to hit traffic. You know, going down the west side. I'm not near Yankee Stadium. Everything should be great, right? And you hit traffic, and you're like, okay, calm down. News Radio 88, on the 8th, this guy's going to give me what I need. And then right on the 8th, he tells me about Long Island. He tells me about Jersey. He tells me about Connecticut. God forbid he could mention the West Side Highway going into the number one city on the planet, and that just gets, you know, left out.
That's hilarious.
I don't know.
True story, man. True story.
Danny Coleman, thank you, for giving me the opportunity to let your listeners know what's happening in New York. You know, I love doing Dave the Rave's Rock and Roll Review, and you guys have a great show.
And we love having you, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, my friend, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right, happy Thanksgiving. Take care.
There you go. Rock on. Dave the Rave. Hey, you can find my piece on Joe Louis Walker by going to newjerseystage.com and clicking on the music tab and or articles, and look for Rock On this week's soundbites if you want to read about Joe Louis Walker and his insight into the blues and the music world and Bill Graham and hippies and everything else that's that was part of that. But thank you for your patience, Beat Seaters.
Of course.
How about we go with that? Beat Seaters.
Nice.
Seat beaters.
I like it.
Seat beaters.
Oh, when we didn't have a name, Seat Beat was on our list.
Yeah, Seat Beat was
Wife beaters, glad it's not that.
Can you give us a demonstration of the Beat Seat, my friend?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So the Beat Seat, as we know, so you can play with your hands and feet. But I'll show you, since you can't see my feet right now. I have this set up right now. I'm a lefty, so when I kick it, get the kick. Snare on the other side, so. Now, with your hands, you have two snares. So you have the one here for your feet and then the other. So you could actually make it sound like a full drum kit. And I'm not a percussionist at all, but being able to do that much has just never been possible, you know?
And you could do that while you're playing guitar.
Yeah. That's.
Can you
yeah, absolutely.
Well, throw that in the mix?
That was where this all started, right? Wanted to be able to, I wanted to be able to just do this the right way. Being able to play a show and add your own percussion would be a pretty big thing. Be able to do all
very
that
cool.
Change
yeah,
beats.
That's nice, yeah.
It's just so much fun.
And it's got a nice deep sound to it, deeper than a regular cajon. I mean,
yeah.
You know, with a cajon, you have to be able to play. You can play it with everything from your fingertips.
Yes, yeah.
To a flat palm gives you a deeper sound, then a cupped palm gives you a little more of a vibrant sound.
Okay.
There are actually methods to playing cajons. You just don't sit on it and say, okay, this is cool, I'm going to keep this beat. But
yeah,
you know, to get certain tones and certain sounds. But you're getting that out of your foot
with
a shoe on it.
Yeah. And ideally, it's playing without shoes is best because you get your heel against the wood. When you're wearing the wrong shoes, that heel can protrude a little too much, and then you're too much on the wood. So sneakers are great. You know, with a pair of sneakers on, they're great to play with.
Do you hear what he just said there, Art and Claire? I'm pretty sure I just heard him say that I should probably play that naked. Isn't that what he said?
That's what I was saying.
With bare feet?
That's what I was saying.
I wasn't paying attention.
I think I'm going blind.
No. Yeah.
Welcome to Naked Radio,
Naked
Instagrammers.
You know, it's interesting you say, though, because I don't know what the technique is for cajon playing, but you just explained something to me. Now, I'm curious. I've always said some of these people that are such good players on the cajon, I want to see them on the beat seat. If they use some of those techniques with an instrument that has four playable panels and unlimited tones, it's going to be amazing.
You should do a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah, we were saying, imagine having a cajon and a beat seat right next to each other. Same guy, go from one to the other, or get two great drummers, and you say, okay, I want you to try to make more music than that guy.
Now, I just saw you recently. I think, Laura, you posted it on LinkedIn, right? Or
Facebook
or somewhere. Were just with somebody, a drummer from...
Oh, yeah, Mark was with her.
Well, for her, yeah. So yesterday I dropped off a beat seat for a gentleman that when I was a touring artist, MTV music artist, I had a deal that I was working towards, and I knew this guy because of that. 10 years have gone by, you know, now we're friends on Facebook, and he sees me posting beat seat stuff over and over. And I notice, like, I haven't really thought much about it, but I noticed that he's the production manager for her. And her is like the biggest artist on the planet right now. So jokingly, like 3 months ago, I was like, hey, I hear her is a multi-instrumentalist. Does she want a beat seat? I'll give her a beat seat, you know? Never heard back from him at all. You know, I'm like, he's busy and he's traveling the globe. Yeah. All of a sudden, yesterday he said, we got a call from Vivo. They want her to be on Monday for a live performance, but it's an acoustic set. I put in a request for a small drum kit. They said, no drum kits. We need you to get a cajon. He goes, how about something better? And so he called me. He goes, would you be okay with us using it for the show? I said, absolutely. So I brought him down one of my favorite models, like all white oak with a flame maple snare, just like totally gorgeous, you know? And so we dropped it off, and I just posted something on Facebook because he sent me a note. They're at rehearsal today. And he said, he said he loves it. The sound's amazing. And he said, he won't stop talking about it. LOL. And then her played it as well and thought it was awesome. So he's like, I can't send you a photo of that, but the drummer loves it. Her drummer loves it. And look, to me, all I need is this, to hear from a guy who's out there doing it, to say, this is cool. You know,
yeah.
And that was a great thing to see that note.
So you make so much just came out of that one conversation.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to be able to remember it all. So these are made in multiple,
all different
types of
woods.
Yes. And, okay.
Currently, we're making them all out of plywood.
Okay.
We went down to our manufacturer a few weeks back, and
in North Carolina.
Yeah, conversation came up because we're trying to speak to everybody about this. It's not
That's
just
plywood.
This is all plywood based. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very light.
Yeah. They're 13 to 15 pounds. And so we're, you know, for the meantime, we're saying, okay, let's just get these out there. So our price point's really low. We just want to get them out there. We want the world to have beat seats. If you put us up next to a quality cajon, you're paying more for a cajon with one panel than you are for the beat seat. But we want to get them out there. And they're not handmade either. That's the other thing. So I'm sorry. What was the question? I got a little sidetracked.
Well, you have – you said you did – white oak or something?
Oh, yeah. So we have all the plywood based for current, but then we went to the manufacturer. They said, you know, why don't we build one out of, like, real wood? And I said, well, I don't have the equipment at home to do that, to join all the wood together, because you can't get a 24 by 22-inch piece of wood. I'm going to have to get someone to join all that together, glue it together, plane it down, sand it down, and then it's thin enough for me to use a side panel. So I just don't see it as feasible. They said, we could do it. We're manufacturers. We got all the equipment. I said, well, that's cool. So then they said, because they're laying out, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do it effectively, to your point? And they said, you know what? We could do as a signature model. So we'll do them all, you know, to compete against the cajon. We'll get them all price point. Then we make one all hardwood. And we sell it, you know, like a Gibson or a Taylor or Martin guitar price. You know, it's all hardwood, hand built. And you can order all walnut with a flame maple snare, but it's not out of plywood. It's all real wood. So we're going to do that as a fourth model. Right now we have a junior model, which is for kids up to maybe 14 years old, 16 inches tall. Then our
we also have
model.
Multicolored ones for teaching tool, rhythmic tool for children, for schools. And
right, that's what you were you were going to say. You were going
the music
to,
therapy
yes,
piece.
Yes, yes, we were before Dave the Rave called. Go ahead.
Yeah, Laura got involved because of the music therapy aspect. So that junior model comes just plain, but then we can paint it in multicolor. It's almost like building blocks when we were kids, or like a Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
So we have that as a model. Yeah. And the thought behind that is, you could be in a room, 10 people sitting around, and they say, okay, everybody play your red panel. And now kick your blue panel, and then all of a sudden you're creating music in a classroom setting. So that's one of them. Then our second model is, you're actually looking at the drummer model, right? We have a singer-songwriter model and a drummer model. The singer-songwriter is 7.5 in the front. These are 9 inches at the front. Okay. Back is 12, so you go from 12 to 9, so a 3-inch drop. And so basically, the drummer model sounds unbelievable. The singer-songwriter model sounds unbelievable, but I think we're going to need a fourth model. I think we need a supermodel, because when we were...
I need a supermodel.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I have to reach out to Carol now. Oh, sorry.
Wrong supermodel.
But besides the signature,
oh,
I think we need an XL, because when we were at NAMM, so we went to Summer NAMM this year.
Okay. Yeah. Where was it this year? Nashville?
Nashville, okay. Yeah.
Went down to Summer NAMM, and a couple amazing things happened while we were there. We met Elvis's guitar player, who has two of them at his studio
James
now.
James Burton, yeah.
James Burton loved the beat seat. And that's a great story, too, in itself. But it was just a great experience to go down there and to get some feedback from people who are in this business, and to see what kind of response they give to this product. And we wound up winning Editor's Choice from Music Inc. So that's a really huge honor
fantastic.
For us.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, we're really pumped about that.
Now, how can we find a beat seat? So, this show is going to be replayed by 7 or 8 other affiliates from here to the UK and back. So how can people, let's say, over in South Yorkshire, UK, how can they purchase a beat seat?
Beatseat.rocks.
Beatseat.rocks.
Yep.
Okay.
And you'll never forget this. The beat seat is the drum you play with your hands and feet. So that's it.
The drum you play with your hands and feet.
The beat seat.
Little rhyme going on.
Little rhyme.
Well, and it's funny that this happened. So we were, for years, we were calling it the gig box. Mm-hmm. I invented it. Didn't know about the sensory aspects to it. And for the first 5 or 6 years, I'm like, hey, I invented the first drum for guitarists, the first drum that people could play upright. Gig box, perfect name, right? We thought so. Then we go down to Summer NAMM. Everything goes well over there. And we get a call from our accountant/attorney. And she says, someone has trademarked the name Gigbox.
Oh, no.
And I remember Laura called. She goes, we can't use the name. Someone else has the name. I'm like, okay, well, we got to come up with another name. That was I didn't care. I was like, we got to just come up with another name. I got a call. I think my mom, she goes, you must be devastated. I said, devastated?
We were happy.
I know that's not the name. Like, right. I'm the type of person, if I find out that something isn't right, I'm thanking the Lord that I know that now, instead of wasting another 6 months on a name that's not going
anywhere.
And
the name is better, Beatseat.
Yeah, Beatseat's such a better name. And again, we
more
didn't
all-inclusive.
Know.
It's more catchy.
Yeah, we didn't know about the sensory aspects to it. But then someone, I think it was your brother, her brother said, we're coming up with names. And we met someone at Gibson while we were there. Mm-hmm. Laura became very friendly with. And she said, you know, we got to change the name of the the gig box. You have any ideas? He came up with the name, Beat Seat. He gave us like 20 names. Like, how about Seat Beat, Beat Seat? How about the drum box? Like, he came up with all these names.
He named it.
And we just kind of did like a little test run. We named it. I think I went on Facebook and asked people what they thought. Then her brother said, Beat Seat, it's a rap. And I said, what? He goes, what are you even thinking about?
Yeah.
And he studied marketing when he was younger. He goes, Mark, the name has to be explained. Everything in the name itself. Beat Seat, what do you have? You have a drum that you can play with your hands and feet. I'm like, yeah, that rhymes too. And all of a sudden it starts coming together, you know, synergy.
It made sense.
Yeah, and now it's it. I can't believe we were calling it the Gig Box.
I can't believe it. Your brother calls him Mark. It's Mike. It's Mike.
No, that's his brother.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your brother. Oh, sorry. I can't believe it.
Yeah. That's a confusing house to grow up. We were all M's. My father's Manny, Matt, Michael, Mark, and then my mom's mom. So really all M's.
My mom's mom.
We're all M's.
All M's.
Like there should be a Jack in there somewhere.
There should be a Jack. That was the old saying, the Jack, the Paul,
Pep
John.
Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
So where'd you grow up at, Mark?
I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So you're right.
Yeah, I did like the tri-state thing. So I grew up in New York and Rockland County, moved to Toms River. And then I moved from Toms River when I was 13 to Connecticut.
Oh, so you're familiar with our state then. You're
very much, yeah. I loved living here, and as a baseball player, I loved Toms River East. And you know, I miss OBCO. You guys know what OBCO is? We talked about this earlier. I got to say, because we are in New Jersey.
Toms River?
Yes. Okay. So listen, I'm going to tell you a story right now. This is very important. When I was a kid, my father used to come home on Sundays with these fresh donuts. They were like piping hot, okay? But it wasn't that they were just donuts. It was the type of donut that they made, okay? Mm-hmm. They had this donut. It's you know how you go to Dunkin' Donuts, they have like a strawberry frosted? It wasn't that, okay? It was a cinnamon, I'm just painting the picture, cinnamon donut. You found OBCO! Cinnamon donut, and it had strawberry icing on it. Not strawberry frosting, strawberry icing. Imagine you take strawberries and you crush it up into a bowl and you pour sugar all over it. And then on top of a cinnamon donut and then piping hot. This is 25 years. I haven't had it in 25 years, but this is what I remember.
Hopefully they're still as good, right?
Sounds like they look good.
They look pretty good. Sounds like good.
You got to go down there and get one now because you guys are 40 minutes away here, right?
Yeah, we're close to Tom's Room.
OBCO.
You're not that far.
I miss it. I was telling Laura, I said, why can't you be on at like 6:45 tomorrow morning? Stopping at OBCO on the way.
One of my golfing buddies lives in Tom's River. I'll have to have him. Check
that out. Oh, you got it. Definitely. It's on Route 37. It's right before you take a left to go to Seaside Heights. It's 25 years. I still remember that.
And I posted in the event.
Were you around when Gateway Toyota burned down?
No. When was that?
Okay. Or the Toyota right there on the
was that right
37.
There as well?
Yeah, burned down.
Jeez.
Burned
to the ground.
Gateway Barbecue.
I moved away in 91.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was probably before. Maybe? Yeah. I don't know. I was also 12, 13, so I may have been.
Okay.
I just may not have remembered it specifically.
Okay. And you were an MTV artist?
It's interesting. I wasn't signed by MTV, but they used my songs on their shows. And if you went to their website when I was an artist and they look in their MTV music artists, I was on that page. So they considered me an MTV music artist. They used all my music on their shows, like The Real World, Paris Hilton's The Simple Life. They used to use my songs on her shows.
Okay.
And, you know, my album in 2006, I think they used six of the songs in that album on their shows. And that was right when I met Laura, and I had a record deal on the table that I decided not to sign. And that's a good story because you guys know when you sign a record deal, what they do with a solo artist is they make sure you're not a solo artist anymore. Mm-hmm. They find the greatest drummer, greatest bass player, piano player. They want to make you seem like a superstar. Even you may be a superstar, but they want to make you even better. So they put these amazing musicians around you. And so I realized if I had signed that deal, moved to LA, which we never would have done, she would never have moved to LA. So I wouldn't be sitting here with this amazing person. So, but I would have gone there, would have had this record deal, and they would have put me with a band, and I never would have invented this. This only happened because of a solution to a problem. I was playing a monthly residency, and the drummer decided not to show up three days before the performance.
Yikes.
And it's not that he decided to not show up. He was Jose Feliciano's drummer, and he had a show. He's like, hey, Jose just got a show. I'm like, so you're going to miss my show? Tell Jose to go and pound sand. No, I'm just kidding.
Adios.
Adios, Jose.
How about Feliz Navidad? You know?
But I got to say, I look back now and say, if you made that show, same thing. If he made that show, I never think of the beat seat.
Everything happens for a reason, right?
It's true.
Everything happens for a reason, absolutely.
And where are you from, Laura?
I'm from Fairfield, Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're
born and raised.
There you go.
Fourth generation.
Fourth generation, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I would have had to either stay or go. That's the option. She wasn't going. She's staying. She's like, I'm not moving.
She's better than Abco does.
That's right, because I didn't go back for Abco.
No, that's right. You didn't.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, can you give us a, we got about 5 minutes, I guess, till the Deuce Music Minute, maybe, so on and so forth.
You want to hear a little something?
Yeah. Can you, give you a experiment with the guitar? And, give me a song. Give me something.
I'll give you something here.
Give us Rock on Radio, people.
Johnny Cash for you.
That sounds that sounds very cool.
Thanks,
actually.
Buddy. Thank you very
much. That's great. Matter of fact, we got in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, we have the Deuce Music Minute with an artist whose name I'm not sure how to pronounce.
Just call him Mike.
Great idea. That's what we'll do. We'll call him Mike.
Mike.
So you... I'm pulling...
You're getting caught over there.
I'm caught in my own headphones.
Like, thank God it's on YouTube.
Somebody should message in and tell us how my bald spot looks from back there.
Well, I can tell you.
Shiny.
I can look and tell you.
Claire is my producer.
It looks perfect. Beautiful.
Who never fails to tell me how much older I am than her. And,
and everybody.
And everybody.
Me.
See, I'll just let her go now. Good.
I'm good.
Oh, you're good now?
Yeah.
Okay.
My system.
And which kind of makes it fun because she never misses a chance to take a shot at me.
Never. Just nor to remind
does,
you.
Nor does Art, so. But he's being awful quiet tonight.
He's my back.
Just taking it off.
We are sitting here with the creators of Wing the Beat Man. Seat, Laura and Mark. If you want to give us a call, please do so at 609-241-7103. You know, I forgot to give that. I don't know if I gave that out at the beginning of the show.
What?
Maybe because I did the Facebook Live so close to.
No, you did.
I think you did. Yeah.
And our website is dcror.com.
Yes, it is. Every day.
Here, if you want to be a sponsor of Rock on Radio, all you have to do, people at home, pay attention now. Like I told Joe, greatest nation in the world, donation. So please make a donation to the City of Angels. Go to cityofangelsnj.org and, help them help people with drug and alcohol addictions get the treatment that they need because they are an all-volunteer organization that runs off of donations from people like us. So if you give them a donation and in the memo or the remarks put Rock on Radio, I will make you an advertiser of this show for 30 days. 30 days. So that's four live shows on two different stations. and 30 replays, because it gets replayed every day of the week somewhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. So, see, get a bang for your buck. You get a beat seat for your buck. That's what I'm talking about. You get the beat. We are going to take a quick break right now for the Deuce Music Minute here on Rock On Radio. And then when we come back, maybe you can show me how to play the beat seat.
That'd be awesome. Nice. Let's do a little jam. Maybe a little jam.
You brought two, right?
I brought two.
You
brought
there
two.
You go. We'll do a little jam session. Nice. Impromptu. We'll be right back. There we go.
We're live on Rock On Radio. Christopher Walken. Guys, it's crazy. You come to New Jersey, you're bound to hear the beat seat. Oh no, the beat seat is a drum you play with your hands and feet at the same time. I knew. I'm Christopher Walken, of course.
Christopher Walken live right here at Rock On Radio.
Rock On Radio.
Another fan of the...
I love Walken. There's nothing better than Christopher Walken.
Oh, cowbell.
What?
I need more cowbell.
You're thinking, guys, you gotta have more cowbell. I got a fever.
When did you start doing impression?
You know, it's funny. I think I've always done impressions, but I didn't realize it until I was, I guess I caught the acting bug when I was, I think people would be surprised to know I used to listen to hip hop. For the first 18 years of my life, I liked rap music. I didn't know what regular music was. When someone said The Grateful Dead, I thought The Grateful Dead was, jin, jin, jika, jika, The Grateful Dead. Can you believe that? I thought The Grateful Dead was The Grateful Dead. And then I heard
like
the music.
Angry music?
Yeah. Yeah. And the first time I heard them, I was like, this is The Grateful Dead?
Oh, geez. Let's see. Hello. Welcome to Rock On Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tanya. I was hoping Mark could do a little Al Pacino.
That's my sister.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we've got requests, so go ahead.
Okay. You're crazy. Tanya, you're calling the radio show. How are my kids doing?
You guys are the best. You guys are the best.
I hope those kids have gone to sleep. If they don't go to sleep, you tell them I'm coming, okay? I'm coming for them.
Tanya, are they sleeping, Tanya?
Good night.
Are they sleeping?
Ah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Grandpa, are you there?
Hey, Grandpa. Oh, hey, you listening, mate?
Just me. We just love you guys, and you're amazing. The beat seat rocks.
Oh, thank you,
Tanya.
You're the best.
Best sister ever.
See, even the kids are promoting it.
Oh, that's awesome. You guys are the best.
Love you guys. Thanks for calling in.
Good night, guys.
Love you guys.
Tanya,
good night,
guys. Rock on.
Rock on, Tanya. I guess I don't want backstage passes.
Backstage passes. That's right. I got this Joe Louis meet and greet to give away. If anybody wants to go see Joe Louis Walker, not Joe Louis the boxer, but Joe Louis Walker, give us a call, 609-241-7103.
Right now.
If you're the first caller, you'll be the first one to register. If nobody else calls, you'll get the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
There you go.
You know, the odds are in your favor. 609-241-7103. If you have questions for Mike, Mark, or Laura, we'll answer those as well. All right, you're going to show me how to... We're going to do a little jam session, so I'll give the show over to Claire and Art right now.
Oh, and take pictures.
Well, just until I get over, I can't talk.
All right, well, we have to talk. Art, we have to talk.
You have to talk.
Oh, you shut your own mic off.
We're not going to...
solo.
Solo. Okay. Art, how far back did you have that mic? I kind of moved things around.
I'll move it.
Right? Yeah, that's all right.
Okay,
should
so let's
move?
Do.
Let's do this right. Here, I'll move so that you see it better, right? Yeah, I'll figure out the
second. All right, there we
no,
go.
No, you are. Here. Here. You're
fine.
All right, so.
It's a radio show.
Go ahead.
So start with
just
your
tilt
kick.
It.
There we go.
And move up. And you can go ahead.
Perfect. Then you got your snare in the middle here.
Oh, that is
hey, I am Danny Coleman.
That's super light.
That's
yeah, super light.
That's the other thing we have too is the grab and go bar.
Oh, there is. There's a grab and go bar.
Yeah. So right, you stick your arm in the back and you just grab it and go. All right. That's something I didn't patent. I wish I probably did because it's such a cool thing. Right. But yeah, so you can sit upright. You can get to both feet. You can keep them both sides. And just instead of bending over, now you could sit like you do on a drum kit.
Yeah, even back here.
And actually, we could actually use, yeah, use pedals.
Very cool.
And I hit the ones in the like go in the very front panel, like it's almost like a roto tom.
It's almost like a wood block.
Right, like yeah. A roto. Right?
Yes, very high pitched.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And then the sides?
Tom toms.
Very cool. So this is, I'll talk in this mic, but look at the camera there for those watching on radio at home. And hopefully you guys can hear me. So this is like really cool, Art. Art, the City of Angels should buy like 50 of these.
Yes.
I'm thinking we should have one for the studio.
I'm thinking we should.
And I want Jim Gavin to see one of these because he actually teaches kids with he's a music teacher and he does a radio show here with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's a local music guy who's actually done some
plus
stuff.
Plus, he has
me
some programs for kids with disabilities in different libraries that he goes to every week. And some of them don't have instruments, so he's actually doing
right.
An instrument.
Yeah, he does an instrument. Collection,
yeah,
type
like a
of
donation
drive.
Thing. Right?
Yeah, donation
that's what's
drive
going on right now, right?
Yeah, if there's anybody who has old instruments they want to get rid of, and to donate to, like I know Jimmy used to work for the Mercer ARC program, and he, as Art said, he teaches and helps handicapped people, adults and children. Through music, and he does an instrument drive every year because a lot of them, they don't have enough instruments and there's just no money in the budgets
yeah.
to buy instruments. So
that's
yeah.
an amazing
so if
thing.
Anybody has anybody getting rid of an instrument, just hit me up on my website dcror.com and I'll make sure that Jimmy gets in touch with you. So Jimmy Gavin,
but, that's great,
but this
that's
is
great.
Pretty cool, so just trying to think.
You could put your pedals to it too.
Can you?
Yeah, you can put a pedal on each side, kick snare.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, so you just...
Because a lot of guys do that. A lot
yeah,
of drummers,
the
they put a bass pedal and they,
correct,
you know,
yeah.
they...
Now, they, I think also, you if you did it that way, then you could sit like you would with your kit and
right.
just with your back heels going and just both sides are just...
Kind of like a double bass.
You do a double bass,
wow.
yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, it would be cool to see
like
someone
it.
Doing that. Like the double bass thing on it would be pretty amazing to see.
And it's got a nice...
The snare is nice, right? It's like snappy.
Okay.
And they're hand-built in the U.S. by me.
By you.
Hand-built by this guy.
In your real estate office.
Yeah, I call it the beat seat shop. But,
the beat seat shop, okay.
You know, it's funny. So when we had our first order, this was late October. Late October had our first order, and from someone who ordered two. And I had a guy lined up who was going to build these for me. And all of a sudden, like, he's not calling me back. Like, a couple of days go by, Marco. Like, a couple of days go by, and I'm like, I need these done. He ordered them for his son's birthday. He wanted them both so he could give it to him on his son's birthday, and they could celebrate and play Beat Seat together.
This was last October.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's actually last year. Wow, it's been a year. Mm-hmm. And so basically, so I'm left with two choices. Do I go and call someone else to start building these things? Or I built some, the earliest prototypes were built by me, but I spent way too long on them. I was putting all this extra veneer on it because I was covering up the nails, all this stuff. I didn't know what I was going to do until I went and built these two. I go into the shop, I built these two beat seats, and I took away all the veneer. What you see here is this came out in that moment. I was like, I can't have all this extra stuff on it. Which is costly, also takes way too long to iron veneer on all over the place. So this was the newest form that came about. And I built one, I built two. And all of a sudden I started realizing, you know, I don't need a carpenter. Mm-hmm. I see at the shop what I need because I'm using it all to build these first two. So I went on Facebook Marketplace. I start looking for table saw. I found a really awesome steel, like really nice grizzly table saw. Drove to Long Island, threw that in the back of my car, brought it home. I don't know how I got into the beat seat shop. I got a drill press. I got a orbital, it's like a sander that goes up and down. So for the hole in the back.
Belt sander, yeah.
This one's actually, it's called a orbital, it goes up and down like this and spins.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could throw the hole on it and just spin it and it's like amazing. But I saw it at the shop. I was like, I need one of those, you know? So I went and I bought what I need to build beat seats. put it into our shop in the basement, and now I can build them one-offs, five-offs, whatever, and I don't need anybody specifically until we get a big enough order, you know? Oh, wow. And now I can say I know it's who's building it.
Were you a woodworker of sort before you undertook this thing, or are you...
Not by trade. Not by trade. No, but I did build a guitar before. I built an acoustic guitar a few years back. This just goes to, you know, look, I'm an entrepreneur, like serial entrepreneur at heart. And I built a guitar, but not traditionally. Like, I didn't go and buy all the materials from Stuart McDonald and all the kerfing and all that stuff. What I saw in my mind is almost like this. I was like, can I build a guitar out of like normal materials, like 2x? So I thought 2x material of cedar is really light, right? So I got 2x8. Two pieces of 2x8, glued them together twice. So now I got 4x16. I cut out the shape of my ES-165 jazz guitar. And then I cut out the inside, so it's razor thin. Bought soundboard top and back. Then I put veneer around the whole outside. Built a neck out of flame maple. And I just did something that, I don't know. I don't think anybody's ever built a guitar like that before. It sort of works. But I was just like, I want to try something,
wait,
you know?
Wait a minute. What do you mean sort of works?
That's like it being sounds okay, but it doesn't sound like, it doesn't have that, you know what I mean?
That's like being a little bit pregnant. Either it works or it doesn't. Yeah.
Like, I could get it to play a tune. I even put in like stars on the neck, like all the way up the neck. I don't know why I did it.
How long does it take you to build one beat seat?
Each beat seat's roughly 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, okay. So you got it down pretty quick. Now, how much of an inventory do you have? So, like, with the 40 bazillion people that are listening to this show right now, if they all want to order a beat seat,
then we're going to the manufacturer. If all the orders come in today, we're going manufacturer. Now, I could probably comfortably build four to five in a week. Okay. I got to still sell real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, like we joke. You know, I get up and then I'm pushing between real estate and then I have my talk show. So every day I'm live for that, at least an hour every day. And then at night, I build beat seats. Like, we went out to dinner last night and I was telling Lara on the way here that everyone was talking to me about the TV shows that they love. And they're like, oh, do you ever see this? I'm like, TV? What the hell is that? Like, I don't watch TV. I'm working. I'm working towards something right now. People say, well, what is it? I don't know. I just know I have something in my mind, and I won't stop until I get there.
Until you get there.
You know?
Oh, I know the feeling. That's funny you say that, because I played golf with a guy yesterday, and he's going, did you ever see that show? I said, just stop. He says, what do you mean? I said, August 2013.
It's the last time you watched a TV show?
He says, what's that? I said, my television died. I never replaced it.
See?
Never replaced it.
And I bet you're happier than you've ever been.
I don't, you know, I realized that there was only three things that I did when I watched television, and none of them was watch. I would turn it on in the morning while I was getting ready for my day job, and I would listen to before I had Dave the Rave, Traffic and Weather, you know.
He's awesome, by the way.
Dave the Rave.
He's the man.
And then I had, then... Or I would put it on as background noise to watch either I'm a Phillies fan and a Flyers fan, so I would either watch one of those.
Just to
the games would be on, and I'd be sitting at my computer doing my column or marketing this program or something. And it's like, when it died, it's like, do I really need to replace that?
No, you don't.
No, I don't. You know.
I call it the negatube. That's my new thing. I call it the negatube. And I tell people, because... You know, I shut it off just because I can't. We said this. I can't talk about politics. I just can't stand all the negativity in this country, and that was what led me to start a daily show of positivity. And so today is day 328 in a row.
How do we find this show?
Mark Pyre's Real Talk on any platform, but specifically on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. But YouTube is the new one because I'm using this new program where I have all my signature comes up on the screen. It's all so cool to be able to do this live in real time, multi-cameras.
Yeah.
And so my daily mission is to affect a positive change one person at a time. And I know it's a journey. That's why I make it one person at a time. I'm not trying to reach the whole world at once. It would be nice to reach the whole world at once, but that's impossible. So we just keep going every day, leaving messages. You know?
Nice.
Positivity, motivation.
Fantastic.
And Beatsy.
And Beatsy. That's right. Beatsy.com. If anybody wants to go see Joe Louis Walker, just give me a call. 609-241-7103 at the Sellersville Theater in Pennsylvania. Or if you have questions for Laura and Mark, I'll give you something. I'll find something to send you. But this, remember I was telling you before about the cajon? Now, if you listen, hear the flat palm?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, hear the cupped hand?
Different feel, different tone.
And then fingertips?
Yeah. Yeah, we saw this one guy who was doing that very similar. He was here, and he's going... He's going up and down. I'm like, wow, and maybe he was doing this with his fingers because he was making all these different tones. It was amazing.
Yeah,
that man.
There's actually a whole science to it.
Yeah. And the brushes too. If you put the brushes on here, we had two guys who played. They go, this is exactly where I want it to be. They both
said perfect for brushes, like, sure.
You're right. It's just like, brrr, you know, it's just like you're playing.
I wish I had thought of that. I got mine in my truck, actually.
Oh,
I got
really?
My whole stick bag is out there.
Yeah, that would have been good to
do. Mallets, brushes, you can use all kinds of things.
Yeah, the mallets are amazing.
Yeah, that's...
You know the ones with the leather? There's leather?
Yep.
Okay, so that Thierry Arpino played that at Blue Note with Lisa Fisher, and basically he makes it sound like a 7-piece drum kit.
Wow.
7 pieces.
I like the high end on this, but I like the fact that it's got a warm, you know.
Very warm, right?
Yes.
There's actually some bass to that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, because you can get the palm and get that.
Yep.
That's bassy.
So I'm saying there's a whole, you know, that where you can... You know, you keep it cupped.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, this
fantastic.
Is the crazy thing. It's like everywhere you hit it, you can make different. Try the side panel. You're going to like this one. So if you take the side panel here and start in the middle, play all the way to the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it up to the corner.
This is great. This is...
Unlimited.
Of course, it's a little easier for those of you watching on YouTube, but than listening to this at home. But this is this is fantastic. Uh-oh.
Yeah, sorry.
You're gonna Photoshop?
No, we're still
no. Mm-hmm. Photoshop like Mel Gibson's head on my body, or
why would you want that?
My head on Mel Gibson's body, something. You know. Well, you already told me I could have a supermodel, so we're good. Oh, wait, you told me I could have a supermodel.
I did. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We have to accommodate our guests, producer Claire.
You can do whatever you want. It's your show.
Oh, that's true. Once again, this is Rock On Radio. I'm Danny Coleman. This is Mark or Mike, whatever you want to call him. I call him.
Whatever.
And Laura from the Beat Seat. I got engineer Art, producer Claire here. We're going to... you already did that... with your stuff. Now, have you incorporated this into any of your original music?
Yes. So basically what we do every weekend on my show, on Friday through Sunday, we have music night. And it's usually just improv. So I'll go on there, I play a lot of my songs, but then I'll improvise songs in real time. So one of the things, I have a friend, Furman, actually, who was on Facebook today. And one day I put one of my clips out, because I put clips out every day. And one of them was like really powerful, I guess, because he wrote, Mark Inspires. And I didn't realize that if you put INS in front of my name, it spells Inspires. And I'm like, holy cow. Oh. And so now a segment of the Real Talk show is the Mark Inspires section of the show. And every weekend I create a song in real time from scratch. No chords, no lyrics, no vocals, all on the beat seat, the guitar. And I play with a guitar synthesizer. So before you know it, you hear trumpets, steel drums, piano, and it becomes this like...
mini orchestra.
Yeah. All live on the spot. And... sometimes it's not that great. No, but honestly, I think you'd be surprised.
Why is he looking at you, Lark?
I think you'd be surprised at how good some of them are. No, but that tango one I did last week, right? I mean, it was ridiculous.
Can you want to do one now?
I don't have the pedals with me, but I can show you, definitely can play for you.
There you go, because I'll slide over here so Lark can come back and hang out over here.
Oh, I got an idea. We could do it this way. I can open it up on YouTube for
you.
Or can you... Can you
there's
open this
the
up on YouTube?
Go. Look, for those of you at home watching.
Would you be able to go to YouTube? Because you can play through your speakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Mark Pyers, or just type in the Beat Seat.
Why do I suddenly feel like Sigourney Weaver in Alien?
Oh, wait, hold on.
But that's the, you know.
Isn't that so comfortable?
Yeah, cool.
Easy to grab, yeah. Easy to travel with.
In Nashville, he was walking around like that, right?
Yeah, I was walking around, and someone was like, you got some really weird hands. Someone goes, you got a really weird hand. And when you get there, look for afternoon traffic, or I think the last one that I just posted is
there we go.
The Tango, but I'm not sure if that's
Let me come back to my radio show here. Instead of, I got kind of lost.
You did. It was okay. We improvised.
You're having fun.
There we go.
The afternoon traffic one is pretty solid. I can't, let me see if Art got lucky.
Now, Laura, you just said it fits in airplane.
It does, yeah. It fits in overhead bins. And we recently found out it fits in overhead bins on trains too.
Mm-hmm. So exactly. You've traveled with both
we
of these?
We have. We brought them to Nashville when we went to NAMM.
And what did they say? And what did you get funny looks when people...
yeah, mostly
came
people
on
look at
curiosity,
it.
Curiosity, right?
Yeah, a lot of people look at it and they wonder what it is. I like to sit down and play it around a lot of people so they question it even more.
What did the TSA guy say about that?
Oh, so this is great. I don't know if you... Were you here for this one? No, you weren't. So on the way back from my trip last week when I dropped off, we went down to the manufacturer, and I'm coming back, and I go, first of all, on the way down, you guys know, leaving New York City to go anywhere is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Like, the lines.
Horrible.
So we finish up, and we're in North Carolina. What was the airport again?
Raleigh.
Yeah, so we're going to Raleigh-Durham Airport, and as I walk in, there's nobody there. I'm like, this is great. I'm going to be super quick. I walk through, bring my stuff to the conveyor belt, I drop it on, and the TSA guy who's checking in goes, what's that? And so I quickly told him what it is. He goes, hey, Tom. He calls this other guy. He goes, come over here. Look at this. He goes, you play music, right? He goes, look at this thing. Before you know it, like, there's nobody else, so it was fine. We're like talking for like 15 minutes about the Beat Seat. It was the coolest thing in the world. So it is an eye catcher. And plus I had the junior model, which is all multicolored, so it grabbed their eyes right away, you know?
Yeah.
But everybody who sees it wants to know what it is. And I think the thing I try to remind myself constantly when you're an inventor is you created something that never existed, and the history of time has gone by and it didn't exist. And then it came into your head. So just keep think about the gravity of that. The world doesn't know it exists. You're the only one who knows it exists. Now is a lot of work to get the world to see it and to recognize it.
Because people get comfortable with what's already out there, and they're sort of skeptical.
Absolutely. Well, and that's what I find too. Yeah, you're right. Most
that's
people
the hard
get very,
part,
very comfortable,
especially when you're dealing with an instrument.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For what are your websites again?
We got beatseat.rocks. is where you can go find out the Beat Seat. You can check me out every single day for the rest of my life on Mark Pyre's Real Talk. literally every day for the rest of my life.
Literally.
And we went on vacation. We went to Florida, and she's like, don't tell anybody you're on vacation. I was like, that's fine. But I did an hour every day. Mm. And they're back at home. Kids, she's amazing. She's like, go do your Real Talk. Just come back afterwards. I'm sitting there in some place.
And what do I say? Don't talk about me.
Yeah, just leave her out.
I'm private. I don't, you know.
Yeah, she's like, go do your thing. Just, you know. But so 328 days. And again, I tell people, it's not like I go on and I'm like, hey, I hope you guys have a great day. See you later. No, we go. Like, we do an hour every single day for 328 days. It's just unscripted positivity. And most people would fear getting on and doing that. We're doing something similar, going on and just letting the spirit, you know, drive us in a direction. But I feel so good about it. You know, I feel so good about where we're going with it, and we're connecting with people all over the world. And now, you know, look, I wasn't trained in this. I wasn't trained to build Beat Seats. And the other night we did a panel for entrepreneurial panel in Greenwich, Connecticut, and this really brilliant guy came up and he's talking to me about the Beat Seat. He was an engineer. And I said, can I ask you a question? Everybody's asking me where all these tones come from on the Beat Seat. You're an engineer. I think it's because I created almost an auditorium with my Beat Seat. It's wide at the back, narrow at the front, so that everything's going this way. So everywhere you hit, it's going to sound different. He said, that's exactly what it is. And I said, well, I don't even know what I did. I just created it. I just wanted to create a solution to a problem for me. He goes, the best solutions are by people who don't even know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're not trained in that field. He goes, you know, you have people go to school for 15 years to become the master, and then someone just has it within them, and they just do it better.
If that's the case, I should be a billionaire.
Should.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I openly admit it. Wow.
I found that. Well, I found your YouTube
channel. the afternoon traffic one?
Is it on your YouTube channel? I found your YouTube
channel. Whatever the latest, you could probably click that on. You wanted to hear an original. That should be it.
Funk that's beats.
Yeah.
Oh, afternoon traffic.
Yeah, check that one. Right. That one's really cool. This is live looping all in real time right here.
With the
Beat
Seat?
With the Beat Seat.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, this is Rock On Radio. Mark and Laura from Beat Seat are here. You can find it at beatseat.rocks. And we're going to do a tune of yours, right, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. And
this is an improv, a live improvisation.
A live improv, my favorite thing. Yes.
Live from the improv.
All right. And ready, Art?
I think so.
All right. Let it go.
And just cut it into, it was like 15 minutes long. I cut it into 2 minutes and 40 seconds. It just kind of kept layering. Okay, here's the bass, here's the trumpet, here's the steel drums, you know. But just to show the concept of doing a live loop, and you know, you could just do anything with a beat seat. And then the live layering at the end of creating more percussion is like huge. I didn't do it till the end of the song on that track, but usually I do it up front.
There you go. The beat seat.
The beat seat.
Here on Rock On Radio. Oh, that makes you smile.
Sure. Doesn't everything?
I guess. well, that's kind of neat that you, you know, that was all you.
Yeah.
All you. I'm not much of a loop guy. I didn't care for them when, I mean, I realize that a lot of guitarists use them now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that I prefer to it's kind of, I don't know how to say this. But I guess I'm just going to say it. I like when a guitarist uses a loop to accent things, but not as a way of life.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
It could be
like an accessory, but not a.
Exactly. Well, like I had a buddy when I first heard it. This guy, I used to gig with him. I used to do percussion with him. And he's like, well, check this thing out. And he would only use the loop so that he could play a guitar solo over it. And as soon as he was done playing a ride, he would go back to just him.
Yeah.
Without nothing behind him, just acoustic guitar, which I thought was kind of cool because it gave the song
a little extra texture
and the
color.
Continuity of him being able to, you know, stop and play. But I know a lot of guys, that's all they do.
Yeah.
You know, they get the, right, wait a minute, let me do this, this, this. And they just play nothing but background tracks and play to it. To me,
oh yeah, that I don't
it
like.
It just kind of takes away the instrumentation.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I had. My issue is the same as yours. I've heard people say that to me before. Oh yeah, I'll do all the work up front and then I'll save them all one by one. And then I just go, what? I'm like, ugh.
Exactly.
Ugh. Like the whole idea is live looping.
Right.
It's creating in front of someone a composition.
A few years ago, I interviewed Melissa Etheridge, and I covered her show at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Cool.
And Melissa went on a solo tour, just her and an acoustic guitar, and she used loops.
And she used pre-recorded loops.
Yes and no.
Oh, okay.
One or two were pre-recorded. The rest, she would do it live, but she would involve the audience.
Oh, cool.
She'd be like, okay, just give me... And then she'd start, and she'd do something, some kind of thing to that, and then she'd loop it.
Interesting.
And she'd say, okay, great. And then she'd start the song. So, that's like, cool. The audience felt like they were part of
right.
it.
Right.
I like that. That's
and then
nice.
At the end, she brought a couple of her band, the guys that are jamming with her these days, are from the Red Bank, Monmouth County area. So they came out, and they did a set, three songs with her to end the night.
But, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was really cool. But she used it the right way.
Right.
When she did use it. She didn't use it the entire evening. So, but now, like, with the beat seat, it kind of enhances looping.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Well, it gives you the ability to do the entire show, where before you'd have to loop in the guitar and then you'd beatbox over it, right. Or you'd smack the guitar. But now you're doing it while you're laying down the guitar. So first, back in the day, it's guitar, and then it's smack. Right. That's a whole one bar or two bars through. And then you're adding, now you're doing the beat while you add that first loop. So then when I go to the next one, I'm grabbing my jazz guitar and I'm going to the bass line. Right. I'm going to the guitar or to the piano. So it creates a better live experience for every musician. And then it's the energy builder aspect, I think, is something that cannot be looked past.
Now, to her credit, and I know Art and Claire have both, because she's been a guest of this program, but last summer I was at a show where that our friend Bob Macon mm-hmm. put on, and the girl's name is Tara Dente.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Okay, she is playing out front, playing acoustic guitar, with behind her a bass drum pedal set up on a
kick drum.
On an old no, not even a mm-hmm. kick drum. It was on an mm-hmm. old briefcase.
With a drum head inside.
With a drum head inside of it.
Those, yeah.
She's playing it backwards
yep.
while
two
playing
pedals.
Out front. Mm-hmm. And yes, and mm-hmm. she had on the other foot, she had a tambourine.
Mm-hmm. So she's trying to create a beat seat effect, mm-hmm. but she's standing, she can't sit comfortably.
Right. She's standing up, right. yes, because she's right. playing
she
the
needs
acoustic
a beat
guitar.
Seat. She needs yeah. a beat seat.
Can
yeah.
we get her name? We have to get her name because Laura will reach out to her.
I'll tag her.
Yeah, please do.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, but I find that when people see it, they're like, what is that? And right. then when they play it, they're like, I got to have one. It's like everything that it's the same thing for me. If yeah. I see something that's going to make my experience better, I want it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time. I always tell Laura, I'm like, look, you can't get discouraged. It's time. We don't know how long that time is. Just keep going. Just yeah. keep pushing. We know it's going to just... At a certain point, people will realize.
You have to just get it in their hands.
Yeah, why would I buy something I could play with just my hands yeah. when I could play with my entire body?
Right.
You know, that's the takeaway. It's like every cajon. If you watch these guys, they're great. They are so good, but they're sitting like this. They're tapping their feet while they play their hands.
Yeah. Their feet are kind of lost. Unless
they're already needing a beat seat. They're just nobody ever thought of it before. Now let's give them a six tone and let's put a chair there for them to sit in.
And charge them $800.
Charge them $850. Oh, it's insane.
But they're Latin percussion.
But they're Latin percussion.
They can get away with it.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
They have
now
to
see
the light.
My stuff, my bongos, my my claves, my wood blocks, my a couple of my cowbells are all LP.
They are.
Because they make good stuff.
They do.
I mean,
they do.
They make very quality stuff, you know. But some of the stuff, to me, I'm like, do I really want to spend $1,200 on one conga drum?
That's right. The thing. That's
what's that going to get out of it that this $300 one doesn't?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
you bring up a good point, too, because what I find is a lot of people will say, Well, $300 is not a lot, but I could also get a cajon for $69. I'm like, yeah, you could buy a crap cajon for $69. Mm-hmm. But if you want to buy a really nice cajon, it's $350 mm-hmm. at least. Right. You can't spend less than $350 right. for a really nice mm-hmm. cajon.
Yeah, on average, like if you go to a musician's friend or Zounds, zounds.com yeah. or whatever, you can get a cajon for around $100, yeah. give or take $20. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, you go to LP, you're going to spend anywhere between $200 and $400 for a cajon.
For the same type of cajon.
For the same type of cajon. Right. So, but you know, there's a perception out there that the more expensive it is, it must be better.
Yeah.
So, how do you overcome that? I mean, what kind of you're the marketing whiz, right?
Well,
because you're in charge
by
of everything.
Default.
You're in charge
teaching
of everything.
Teaching as I go, learning as I go, learning as I go.
So what do you do? I mean, how do you find marketing this? Do you find that it's easy? Do you find resistance? Do you find...
You know, I find a lot of, that's a cajon. You know, like people know, they know.
I have one of those.
Oh, yeah, we got that.
I'm like, I have one of those.
No, you don't.
Yeah, Laura be like, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I do. I'm like, no, you really don't have this.
So that's the hard thing.
Okay.
Letting them know it's different. Letting them know it's new, it's cool, it's something better.
Yeah.
That's a challenge for us.
Well, now we had someone recently who was trying to, you know, somehow get involved, and they just said, you know, maybe don't be so against it being, it is a cajon. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
Laura actually came up with the best thing. It's a cajon on steroids.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I call
what it
it
is. It's a cajon on steroids.
Right? It's
because
not Joe Mama's cajon.
No, it's
right?
not. It's,
exactly.
It's a cajon multiplied by 4, which would make it a cajon on steroids, mm-hmm. you know? So maybe we should just
that's how I describe
change
it.
The tagline. To the cajon on steroids.
Yeah.
Let people mm-hmm. Lean into the fact that there is something called a cajon. People think it's the greatest thing in the world. And we just say, yeah, we have a cajon on steroids. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Then we're telling them what they're getting.
Who are you marketing it to? Are you marketing it to musicians in general? Guitar players?
Well, there's several markets
percussionists,
here.
Percussionists? Yeah, I was going to say, it seems pretty wide open.
Yeah, so there's the music therapy piece of it that we're marketing to schools for
special needs in general.
Special needs.
Yeah, to Laura's point, every school in the country, the world really, should have a beat seat for their music classes alone. But then the special needs classes should also have one or two in their classes too. So each school should have like 3 beat seats at the minimum throughout the country.
And then it's solo artists.
Solo artists.
Percussionists.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the other thing too. With a cajon, it's one market. Percussionist, maybe a singer-songwriter will buy it and buy that pedal, like you're saying. They could set a pedal up to it. Mostly, they're selling to drummers, percussionists. We have 3 markets, so that's kind of a difficult thing too. That's never been like a sensory therapy singer-songwriters. There's never been a market for singer-songwriters, like a drum for singer-songwriters.
First drum for solo artists.
And even if you don't kick it, you know, at NAMM, someone said, you know, to buy a good guitar seat. Comfortable guitar seats like $150 to $200. I said, well, geez, you pay $100 for a beat seat then. You should pay $200 for the chair for the comfortable seat mm-hmm. and then $100 for the first drum you could kick while you play. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that's
one.
A no brainer to me, you know?
Gives a whole new term to the term
the
kick
one
drum.
Kick drum. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. So it's a journey though. I think that the thing I take away from this is just don't give up, and today may be the day. You know what I mean? Like, we just don't know. Like, yesterday I met her production manager, and she's going to be using it tomorrow on a song. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. It happened yesterday. Right. And because we get up every day and we just drive towards an invisible line, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
We'll find the right partner.
Yeah, we're going to find the right partner.
Or exactly. They'll find us.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, that is a good lesson for anybody. That's what I've often been asked that same thing because... you know, we're about to have the 11th annual Christmas Spectacular because the show began in April of 2009.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
Well, thank you very much. And for 10 and people are like, aren't you tired of doing it? No. If I give up, I don't know how close I was. I could be this close to
exactly to
actually doing something that's meaningful in a bigger way.
Yeah.
You know, I started this program out of necessity because I was a UPS driver for 20 years and my back one morning just decided to betray me. I was out of work for several years because of my back and because I couldn't find work. I was a victim of, I was told by my quote-unquote labor coach, that I was a victim of ageism, because it happened in my 40s and my mid-40s. And I was like, you know what? Time to reinvent yourself. So I went back to radio, which I had done. I had gone to broadcasting school in late 82 and for most of 83, and then the course was over. It was a year-long course. And, you go there thinking, okay, now what?
Right.
And then from that point on, it was up to me. And being a musician, I remember the first time I ever heard myself on radio and the thrill that I got. And I thought, if I could do that and give these indie artists a voice, because my band, I was 15, we were on the radio in a contest, and it was original music. So,
cool.
And I've never given up since. And I don't tell that story so, people can say, oh, you're a great guy. Wow. I tell that story because I didn't give up. It would have been very easy for me to just kind of like say, you know what?
Yep.
Because my back injury pretty much wiped me out financially, emotionally, physically. A lot of bad things happened, but I didn't give up.
You didn't give up. That's the key.
And people like you are the reason why we drive automobiles that park themselves today, because they didn't give up. Hey, I got this idea. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
So well, good for you, man.
Well, thank you. And I think that's amazing to hear your story, because it is easy to give up.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to give up. And I find people do it frequently. And nothing good happens overnight, right?
Nope.
It all happens because you've proved that you're willing to deserve it. And you'll never know until you go after it. Something I came up with recently that I thought was kind of interesting, that I think, just take yourself for an example. You got to a point in your life where you're like, I can't do this anymore. You could have stayed at home and just sat there and done nothing. That's what we call the comfort, right? Sitting back and look, mm-hmm. You had to make money, obviously, but sitting back and being comfortable and not doing what you did, which was go for it again, is failing, I feel like. Going for it and trying is not failing. Even if you fail, you did something.
You learned something.
So therefore, you're living. Yeah. You're living. Mm-hmm. And I think like sitting back and saying, oh, well, I'm afraid to fail, that's actually failing. That's like true failure, sitting there and saying, I'm not going to try that. I'm not going to try that. I'm not going to try that because I may fail.
Fear of failure.
That's failure.
I used to tell my children that. They're now 27, and my youngest just turned 24 last week.
Wow.
And, I used to tell them when they were kids, there were several rules that I lived by with them. I said, I love you enough to let you fail. And I would rather live with 1,000 failures than one regret.
Yes.
Awesome.
So
love that.
Love
that.
And there were times, gosh, I wanted to jump in there and say, but yeah.
Protect them.
And then when they fell, I just picked them up. Here you go. All right. Brush yourself off. Try again.
Yep.
But it made them stronger too, I imagine, because you allowed them to do that on their own, to learn and to feel the pains of life.
And figure it out.
My son was 27 in September. He just called me this week, said, Dad, I just bought a house.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Where'd that come from? I was with you all day Sunday. You didn't mention a word.
He's probably afraid the Monday, deal didn't come through yet.
On Monday, he called me, said, no, I put a bin in on a house. So.
That's great.
Good for him.
Congratulations.
And
I love that. I'd rather fail 1,000 times than have one regret.
Yeah.
I say it all the time. The regret is so much worse than failing.
Sure. Oh, I should have done this.
Yes.
Oh, I should have done that.
Mm-hmm. I think about like real estate even too. Like I'm like, why didn't I call on that expired listing? Mm-hmm. Like the regret of not doing something is so much worse than getting that phone slammed on me. I've had it so many times. I'll just pick up the phone, make another phone call. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But that... maybe that. Oh, what if?
It's to be fearless, right?
I've always found that there's two things. Number one, that are key. Actually, three things that are key. number one is never be afraid to fail.
Yes,
absolutely.
Number two, because we worry. I think as humans, we worry too much about what other people are going to think of us if we fail.
Right.
Yes.
And you're
turning into real talk right now.
Yeah, right.
We're turning into real talk.
Number two is acceptance. you know, you're not going to do, things aren't going to work out for you the way that you always want them to work out. So you need to accept the situation, and then you need to change it.
Right.
And change can be by walking away from it, or by altering your own self, or by, there's different ways to change the situation, but you have to accept what it is first.
Right.
Absolutely.
I just had a friend whose brother died suddenly, which is a bad situation because he was taking care of her elderly parents. Now they have nobody to take care of the elderly parents, and the father's in very bad shape with Alzheimer's and dementia, and the mother is 92. So now what do you do? You know, you could sit there and say, well, how could you do this? Why, you know, you can get, but you accept the fact that he passed away. Now you move on and you figure out what to do to fix it.
Absolutely.
You know, but you have to accept the things that happen to you, good and bad, before you can go forward.
Right.
Well, it's a two-part. You're right. The acceptance is the first part, and it's adapting. I think I always talk about the most important human trait, I think, is adaptability. It's the being able to be aware of what's happening in the moment and adapt. And I think a lot of what's going on in this world is everyone's consumed by life that they miss the moment.
Right.
They're thinking about yesterday. They're thinking about tomorrow. Like one of the things I say on the show is don't think too much about yesterday. It already happened. Don't think about tomorrow. You may not get one. Just make stronger moments. And this is what I live
exactly
with
right.
every day. Just make as strong a moment as possible, because you know what happens? I'm 41, but when I'm 70, 75, I'm going to be sitting on a chair. I'm not going to be able to use these knees anymore. I'm not going to be able to go out and do the things I love to do. Guess what I'm going to have? I'm going to play the beat sheet. And I'm also going to have a huge, like, bag of filled of memories, these strong moments that I created that I have to reflect upon when I'm sitting in that recliner one day. And that's why I just stress to people, do what you just said, live your life and be conscious of everything.
And it's really kind of strange, because it is funny how, and I mean funny like odd and ha 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 funny, how that sort of thing does matter.
Yeah.
As I said, my daughter just turned 24, and she messaged me the other day, and she said, "Dad," she said, I'm a Dairy Queen. You know, Dairy Queen ice cream. I don't know if they have them.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we love Dairy
Queen. Dairy Queen ice cream. She said, and look, she sent me a picture of a vanilla cone with the chocolate shell dipped, you know, the chocolate dipped. And she says, remember when you and Mom were, you know, going through your divorce, and we would go to Dairy Queen and sit on your tailgate of your pickup and eat these things? She goes, I remember that. I think about that all the time. I'm thinking to myself,
so sweet.
Oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that in 15 years, you
it's
know?
A moment that she remembers.
Yeah, but it's a moment that
great memory.
So every day, which is why one of my benefits as an entertainment journalist is I get to talk to a lot of rock and rollers. Okay. I've been fortunate enough to interview Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull three times. Okay. And Ian said to me the last time, he says, you know, he said, you know, because he's very British.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's very, you know. Sorry, my British affiliates, I can't do a good British accent. Ian said to me, he said, you know what really ticks me off? He said, as a performer, but not only as a performer, but as a spectator, when I go to concerts, is as soon as the band starts, people, all they do is put up their cell phones and they videotape. And they rattled off a list of expletives. And he said, away and watch it in real time.
Yes, it's a
no one enjoys says, the moment.
Everyone's filming their children's rehearsal.
Well, I always laugh because at school, all the moms film the kids at the assembly. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm the only one who sits there and just watches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says, because they're like
watching it through
moment.
The phone, and I'm thinking, enjoy the moment.
Now,
yeah, no one's doing that.
Sometimes I have to film at concerts to do reviews
for your
and
bits.
Things.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Clips.
But what I'll do is, as soon as a tune that I think will be a good one comes in, I'll put it up, and then I'll hold it here.
Right, so you can
so
watch.
That I can so actually watch what's going
it.
On. Yeah. I'll hold it next to me.
Yeah,
right.
And that's the way that's got to be. I just don't understand why people today have that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know. But now, like with the beat seat, here, you know, you're creating more another avenue for music.
Yeah.
Another avenue to enhance the experience as opposed to, right.
And plus, because of the point of this instrument, nobody can hold a cell phone. while they have their beats, put down that cell phone. You're gonna be using those hands for something else.
Well, you know, look, I mean, we do it. I'm going to say hi to your Instagram people there.
Yeah.
This morning, you know, but we do that. We Facebook Live events. We Instagram events. We're YouTubing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, right now.
We're on two YouTube channels at the same time right now.
Ooh,
that's kind of cool.
We are out of control.
Amazing.
I like that.
Wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
Now, just keep in mind, I don't probably have anybody on mine. I just started it like last week because I just got this new software. I was like, I got to go on YouTube now.
All right. So we have to subscribe.
Yeah. Now you
subscribe. I did already.
Oh, you did? Thank you.
Good.
See, she's the one.
She's ahead of the game.
Amazing. I know. But I do enjoy the moments. But I do know how to enhance.
You
multitask.
I like that.
Yes.
I'm a mother of four.
Wow. Yeah. So you definitely know how to.
So this last like 10 minutes, though, here, basically you turned it into real talk. I mean, you basically were just, that's the concept of my show, is what you were just doing, which is speaking from here, letting the truth of life come out of you. Like, you know, the things that are wrong in this world is what we should be speaking about more and bringing a positivity to it.
You have my total permission to clip this segment and use it on Real Talk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you'll like it because you look great. You're the biggest thing on the screen, everybody.
Great.
I got you set up over here.
Camera. In a good way.
In a good way. No, I've got you in the middle, and then we're a little small.
The focus is what you have.
I got two little small like pictures in the corners, and you're right there in the center.
I just lost 47 pounds. I just gained 30 of them back.
No. Now it's just me. So I switch the shot over.
There you go. So what's next? I mean, what are we going to do? Because we only got a couple minutes to go here, and then we got to let you drive 17
back to
hours
CT.
Back to Connecticut. Yeah.
Hopefully there's no traffic.
Yeah, well, call Dave the Rave.
He'll give us the update. Right.
There's cars going this way. You got cars going that way. I love that guy. He's awesome.
That's our main man, Dave the Rave. Every Sunday he calls with the Rock and Roll Review.
Mm-hmm.
And one night he said something, and I was like, Dave, I said, you should do the traffic and weather. And he's like, well, I'm not. Oh, come on, New York traffic and weather.
And he threw it in.
The last 3 weeks, he's been rolling with it.
Is this only three weeks? That's it?
Well, he's been doing calling in for about, what, 2 months now, maybe?
September
mm-hmm. or so, yeah.
He's great.
He's really good. Great boy.
He's got a
great.
Really good feel for presence. What you guys are doing. And like, it's a good synergy there.
Dave has, I've actually, thanks to the wonder of the internet, I've never met Dave.
Wow.
Never met. We've only interacted via telephone.
What do you think he looks like?
He looks like Dave.
I think he should come at a Christmas party.
He is. I think he's going to make it down for the Christmas party. That's his intent as of now.
All right.
I like that. And because
unless the traffic.
Because his last name ends in a vowel,
mm-hmm.
he tells me they're bringing lasagna.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Go. I like it.
I always wonder because you never. People always look different than you think, right? Like they sound a certain way, and you're like, oh, that guy's got a mustache. And
you never meet your expectations.
Never. It's totally different.
That's why I live by no expectations, no disappointments.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where are we going from here? What's the future of the Beat Seat hold?
Well, hopefully we're going to be able to work out some sort of deal with one of the big manufacturers to license it from us. And, you know, we're not really sure how this works because it should be licensed by a guitar company and also by a drum company. And they're two separate markets. So I don't know if that's even possible because I think licensing deals typically are like exclusive, aren't they?
Right.
So we're going to have to figure that out when it comes about. But, you know, we're just taking it day by day. We just figure if we keep driving forward.
Building relationships.
Yeah, building relationships.
Contacts.
That's why your accountant/attorney/Uber driver is going to take care of it.
That's right. That's right. If she's not driving someone around right now. But yeah. No, but you're absolutely right. You know, it's like it's a matter of just continuing to pick up stuff as we go. I think you learn on a daily basis what you're missing. You said this. It's like you learn all the mistakes you make in the process of doing the right thing.
That's the only way. Yeah. Look how many times Edison failed to before he made the light bulb.
1,000
ways.
1,000 ways. Yeah. All right. Next week. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for coming down.
Yeah, thank you.
See us. And next week we have. That's why I wore the shirt tonight. Analog Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bill Nobes is coming in. He's just recreated a vinyl recording studio, 24-track, 2-inch tape. He uses.
Woo-hoo.
All analog stuff. It's going to be
cool.
That's cool.
It's going to be fun. Bill's got a lot. He's a wealth of information. So, Mike, Mark,
Mike Mark.
Mark Mike.
And Laura.
Laura, it was such,
thank you so
it was
much.
Such a pleasure
thank
to meet you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
This is the power of LinkedIn right here.
That's it.
Right. That. That's awesome. Right.
There you go.
LinkedIn.
All right. Till next LinkedIn. Week.
Rock on.
Rock on.